we did that perfectly synced.
We're like, what's the...
And we're not perfectly synced anymore.
Drift compatible.
You lost it right there. I would not... I don't know if I could trust you in a giant robot with me to save...
No, not...
the Earth.
No, it's...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Morbid Moment!
Yay!
My name is Katie Nyborg.
Yay!
But everyone on the internet knows me as Stick.
Woo!
Whoa. And here to provide commentary is the lean, mean, morbid machine!
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Red, the uncredited.
Pew, 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 pew.
Those were air horns.
And we are also joined reluctantly by Toki the Sound Guy.
Yeah!
This is us trying our darndest to be super hyped.
Speaking of super hyped, I just want to remind you all that we have a Facebook page.
Oh, we're still
now.
Yeah!
We're still getting a little hyped. Keep
yeah,
up the hype.
Okay, I'm doing it. Yeah!
Hype train.
Woo!
Search for Morbid Moment Podcast on Facebook, and it should be the first hit. And from there, you can follow us if you want to get updates, if you want to comment. If you want to ask questions, I think you can submit things for us to post.
It's wacky. We're only like 60 to 70% sure of how Facebook works.
Facebook keeps asking me if I want to boost my posts, and I'm like, I don't think so, but maybe I do.
I tried saying yeah, but yeah. Then they're like, all right, give us some money.
Ooh.
And I went, oh, I don't have that, though.
Okay, well, okay, so we're still learning a bit of the Facebook stuff, but it's there, it's cool, we are putting stuff in it.
Yeah, it's already pretty rad. We can see all of our people there. We're already posting like the reasons that we're delayed there and cool pictures and other things, so come and hang out. We're trying to keep up this hype train because we are both coming off of being sick.
I have sounded terrible for about a week, and I only just now am able to talk without making just the grossest sinus sounds.
She just didn't have a voice, and then what she did have was just gross. And I didn't want to listen to it. I was pretty sure you didn't want to listen to it, so we held off recording until now. So hopefully... got our energy back. We're back. We're ready to do the thing. And hopefully I can edit out any...
sniffling, coughing, burbling.
No burbling.
No
burbling.
This is
a burble-free zone.
You see that sign up there? It says, no talking, no burbling. By the way, everyone, if you hear a ghostly wailing in the background, it's just my stomach.
Yep. Picked that up on the sound test earlier, so it might happen again.
A nice quiet little ooh in the background.
It was kind of like a little
ooh. Look, I'm just digesting, okay? It's the chocolate cake I had earlier. It's coming back for revenge.
It's like old birthday cake. We're trying real hard to kill the last of it. Okay, so for a quick little get to know you moment, so
quick
we can
little get to know you segment.
Quick little get to know you.
Get to know you.
To kind of warm.
We'll never replicate that again.
Back. Thank God.
Sorry. Continue. I'll stop interrupting.
All right. So we can like.
This is what it's like.
Warm up and get back into this podcasting thing. This is what happens when we take a week off. Just a quick little. I was wondering, are there any ghost stories, little spooky tales that you heard specifically as a kid, or maybe even read specifically as a kid? Maybe one of the classics, like the Hook Hand Guy or something, whatever, that, like, you actually remember and has stuck with you?
Mm.
Because for the vast majority of, like, oh yeah, we used to tell spooky stories all the time and this and that, my dad used to tell these stories, I can't actually remember 99% of them.
I do have one
or two,
but they're both really dumb.
Good, because so is mine.
I would like you to go first, because I feel like mine will be underwhelming.
Okay, well, so. I still can only remember a fragment of mine. Really, the thing that I remember most about this is the guy that would tell the story almost more than the story itself.
Okay.
It was the story of Taillipo.
What the fuck?
Taillipo.
What are you even saying?
Taillipo.
Why are you saying
right
it
right now,
like that?
There is someone in Illinois
who's losing
their goddamn mind.
Okay.
There was this guy who told stories. I'm sure this made vastly more sense to adults at the time. But as a child, there was a dude who told stories at Starved Rock, and I'm sure other places, but specifically Starved Rock Lodge in Illinois, guy who would tell stories.
And you're sure you didn't, like, imagine him?
I had the cassette that he sold at the end of his set.
Fair.
And one of his stories was Taillipo. And it was this weird fucking story that I want to find again someday. And I can only hint at what the plot line was. Because all I really, what sticks out of my brain is him saying,
Taillipo.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of your big,
yeah,
that's
and
the big point
the
there.
The thing that he was describing in my head was like a giant possum.
Ooh.
And I think he would like, there was something about he'd send his dogs out or something and
Taillipo.
And I think they came back with the tail. I don't know, but
I'll get you next time, Taillipo.
Okay. Yeah, and it was this whole rhyming story. He had the whole thing, the gestures and the whole everything. And it was scary and it was vivid and I loved it. And I got the cassette. I made Mom buy it for me because I just wanted to hear him talk about Taillipo. And it doesn't matter what the story was about because my brain was making its own story about Taillipo. And I named one of my rats after this, which is the kind of the like moral of the story at the end is my first batch of rats that I had when I was a kid. I got one and my sister got one. But it was from a pet shop where they were supposed to be feeder rats. So they weren't like, oh, here are these cute pet rats. They're like, here are some rats.
Here, we're going to get rid of these soon. So
yeah, so the female was already pregnant by the time that I got her. So like the second day I had her, she gave birth to 8 more babies. So we went from 2 to 10 rats overnight. So I had to come up with a bunch of names.
Okay.
One of them was Taillipo. So we had all these little black and white rats that looked identical, but I knew which one.
That was the
one. Was Taillipo.
Yeah.
We called her Taillie. Cute little rat named Taillie.
Taillie's a good name for a rat, because they have tails.
I named another one.
Pawy? Like, what
do
you...
No, I think I know I named one Two-Tone.
Okay.
Which was either the name of one of the 101 puppies, 101 Dalmatians.
Sure.
Or it's what I had named my own, like, Dalmatian puppy original character I was that little.
Oh, we're going into a dark place.
Yeah, he had, like, half of his body in spots. The other half was just white.
No. Reel it back.
Please tell me your story before I continue.
Okay, so my story. It's funny that you brought up the one about the guy with the hook hand, because that one scared me a lot. But there's a related one that I used to always get confused with the one about the hook hand guy.
And I'm going to derail us again to just say that my dad loved telling the hook story, but it didn't scare me at first because I didn't get it. And so then my dad had to like stop and explain it and I didn't get it. And then I was like, oh yeah, no, that's scary. And he was like really disappointed by my reaction. Continue, please.
Okay. Yeah, so I didn't listen to a lot of scary stories when I was a kid because, as I've mentioned before, I was very easily startled.
Every story to you was a scary story.
Literally. I'm not even joking.
Oh, no.
Like, I had to be careful around, like, Halloween time because people would play, like, scary stories for kids on cassette and I would get scared by them.
Oh, no.
Or, like, if people did too spooky a voice, it would haunt me forever.
Oh, God.
I was a very
Taillipo.
I was a delicate child.
Scarred you for life.
Yeah, nightmares for months.
Okay.
There's a scene at the end of Robin Hood, King of Thieves, which I think only I have seen because I'm the only child that watched through to the end of that stupid movie.
You're
where
right,
someone
though.
Gets stabbed, and I had that as a repeating nightmare
oh
for
my
months.
God, okay.
So I was very impressionable.
Like a sponge.
And, you know, there's that whole genre of scary stories of, like, couple gets into car... And there's a murderer on the loose, and you, like, hear it on the radio, and then something spooky happens
yeah.
to let you know that the murderer was, like, right next to them the whole time.
Right.
But I think this is a separate story, and this is the one that has probably stayed with me the most, and it's the story of the girl who's driving down the highway at night, and she hears on the radio that there's a serial killer on the loose. And there's someone, I think, driving behind her that keeps flashing their brights.
Oh, yeah!
And flashing their brights. And she's like, what is this? This is stupid. That keeps flashing their brights and, like, honking or
yeah.
something. She drives faster and they, like, catch up right behind her. She's really worried that this person's gonna, like, run her off the road or something.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that they were flashing their lights and honking because there was a serial killer in her back seat.
And, like, every time the guy would sit up or whatever, they'd honk and flash their lights and he'd duck back down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that had left such an impression with me. I think I was in elementary school, I'm pretty sure, when I heard that story. And it left such an impression that now as an adult, even when I'm getting back into my car after putting gas into it, I will still check the back seat just to make sure there's no one in there.
All right, so on that note, specifically that very note, that actually happened where a killer guy was in the back seat. And it was like on the like Fox 9 or Fox News at 9 at night.
Cool.
And freaked my mom out, which she then freaked me out about it.
Cool.
Telling
you
to always check the back of your car.
Cool.
And then I think she told me that story, or my dad told me that story, or something like, kind of like connecting it to the real life story.
Cool. All I'm saying is it ruined for me for life, and I still check the backseat to this very day.
Well,
but you know what? When there's a serial killer in
yep.
that backseat, I'm going to have the upper hand, motherfucker. No one's getting stabbed tonight.
It'll be you, me, and my mom that will
I'm gonna
not be.
I'm going to call the fucking cops, and I'm going to be like, I fucking check that shit all the time, every time. Sure, I've wasted, like, months of my life total by, like, checking behind shower curtains and in the back of my car to make sure there's not a serial killer, but I'm alive.
Right. All right, so we are ruined in the same way
it's
by
okay.
the same thing.
Yeah.
We'll, of all the things that are going to take us down, it's not going to be that
one. It's not going to be that guy. So how about an episode?
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, guys, it's time for another vampire episode.
Because she came back and she's like, you know what? I don't feel good.
I'm sick. I'm tired. I really like vampires. We're going to do another vampire episode.
Been a long couple weeks of work. I'm doing vampires.
I tried to be strong. I got through like 17 episodes without doing another one about vampires, but...
We all knew it was going to happen, so...
And I started writing a VTM campaign, just Vampire the Masquerade, hey 90s.
Some of you know what that is.
Some of you, don't worry about it. It's not that cool. But my brain's just been all vampires all the time. So I'm like, why fight it? I should just embrace it. And I can pretend that this episode is research for my campaign.
Oof.
And I mostly just feel bad for Red, who has had to put up with me being super hyped about vampires for like 3 straight weeks now.
Yeah, she's just kind of been sick at her computer, geeking out about vampires for like 3 weeks straight. Okay, we're recording this late at night, just coming off of being sick. We totally remember how to record podcasts.
Yes.
We're going to talk about vampires.
It'll
be great.
Well, Red, today I'm going to tell you a spooky story. This is a real thing that happened.
Okay. Oh, hey. All right.
It's not just fiction. This is...
Not just fiction this time. This is a thing. Okay.
It's nonfiction.
We're here for a history story.
Yes. So...
All right. Give me... Here, let me...
Shuffle, shuffle.
My feet are sweaty.
Sweaty feet, sweaty feet.
That, like, started when I was sick, and it has not gone away.
Sweaty feet?
Sweaty feet.
Oh. Newt feet.
Ooh, I'm salamander feet.
I'm transforming. All right. Okay, I'm super ready.
It was the night of September 23rd, 1954.
Oh, that's recent-ish.
It is actually pretty recent-ish.
Oh, all right.
The place is Gorbals. I'm sorry, is there something funny about the word Gorbals? I'm sorry, are you giggling immaturely about Gorbals?
That's so stupid. Like, I've heard that word before and it's fine. It's never gotten to me except for right now. Maybe it's just you saying it.
To be fair, I may be putting way too much emphasis on the second syllable. I might be saying it kind of funny because I'm trying to emulate the accent, and in doing so, I just make myself sound like more of an idiot.
Accent?
Scotland.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Gorbals is a district in Glasgow, Scotland.
But you were trying...
I'll just quit while I'm ahead. How's
yeah,
that?
That's a... I would say that's a good idea.
But that does not change the fact that it is still the night of September 23rd, 1954.
In Gorbals.
Gorbals. A district in Glasgow, Scotland.
All right.
So Constable Alex Deeprose.
Ooh.
Which is a cool name.
Dang.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's in a graphic novel.
Oh, yeah. He's the angst-ridden anti-hero.
Are you sure he's not a vampire?
I can't actually promise anything on that one.
All right, okay.
He was called to
Because from what I remember, in 90s role-playing...
Everyone was Rose
Deep
this.
Rose.
Rose that.
Night Rose.
Alex.
Midnight.
Darkness.
Raven Face.
My Chemical Romance.
Red text on black background.
Rose on marble.
Yeah, gif of rotating rose in front of fire.
Also more fire.
Gif of fire.
MIDI of organ music.
This is a very specific age group of people that is laughing right now.
Okay, this constable, Alex Deeprose, he was called to go check on something going on at a local cemetery on this night. He was expecting to have to go deal with, like, normal hoodlums who were
graffiti,
vandalizing the graves,
making out behind the tombs.
You know,
yeah, okay.
The usual stuff that happens in a graveyard. However, when he showed up, he found that there were hundreds of children just standing around in the cemetery.
Kids!
A lot of them were carrying sharp sticks or, like, little penknives, or they were armed with rocks.
Were they, like, snapping? Were they
in their leather coats
yeah.
and just going down the street? No, some of them were actually as young as 5.
Really?
Yeah, there were some little tots hanging around.
Midnight tots?
The late night tots.
The night of the tots.
They're cool babies. some of them were as old as 15.
Okay.
So maybe the normal age range you'd expect
right?
for kidlets in the cemetery. But most of the kids were somewhere in between there.
Okay.
So we got a wide
kids,
range.
Kids, school age kids.
Youngins. Who should have
children's
most certainly been in bed.
Did they say what time of night or just nighttime?
Nighttime.
Okay, nighttime.
It was night.
The night of, right, got it.
As soon as he showed up, the children started swarming toward him and asked him. They ate him. No, I'm kidding.
I was genuinely frightened for him for a second.
No, no, no. They all crowded up around him and they started asking him questions and talking over each other. And they were all...
Hey, mister!
They were all asking him about a vampire with iron teeth.
Hey, did you see that guy, Jaws? He's easy to shoot in Goldeneye.
I only mostly get that reference.
We're, again, still aiming at, like, a very narrow swath of people here.
So yeah, when this guy finally, I imagine he like had to just grab one and be like, everyone else, shut up, you.
I pictured him picking him up like, hoop, shake, shake, shake by the collar. Like,
so when he finally got them to explain what they were talking about, they told him that a vampire had kidnapped and killed two boys from the area. And this vampire was said to be 7 feet tall with teeth made of iron. And someone...
I'm sorry. I'm just telling the listeners that it's Joss from...
Thank you. I heard. I was there. So someone had figured out that this vampire was buried in this cemetery.
Were they like the Junior Vampire Hunter League?
The boys told him that they were there to hunt down the vampire.
What?
Yes. Literally.
Hundreds of them. For hundreds of kids.
That is the quoted amount, is hundreds of kids.
Holy crap. Okay.
So, for the most part, at least at the beginning,
dozens of children.
The boys seemed very serious about they were here to hunt down this vampire that killed these two kids.
Okay.
They were out for revenge. They were going to take this guy down.
All right. With their, little sticks and knives.
And their
rocks.
Well,
I mean, the sticks make sense now, though.
Because it's a stake.
Right.
Yeah. The children did not leave the graveyard when the constable tried to break up the group. And eventually it took the local school's headmaster coming down.
I'm going to call your parents.
I'm going to get your teacher.
Yeah.
He had to call in the teacher before the crowd of children finally dispersed and went home.
Oh, my gosh. And so it wasn't like a game, because when you're a kid and you're playing a game or something stupid, like the police show up or grown-up tells you to scram.
It's the cops!
Yeah, it's the cops.
No, they had problems getting them to all scatter and go home.
Got it.
And then the next night, a crowd of children was gathered there in the cemetery again, still searching for the vampire.
So they went home, but immediately came back.
The next night.
Okay.
This time, the story was picked up in local papers and press reports, and it quickly spread all over the world, as you do.
Right.
The Daily Mirror ran the headline, quote, "Amazing scene as hundreds of children rush cemetery."
Wow.
There are photographs, because this was only in the
50s. Oh, good, good. I love photographic evidence.
I found an actual picture of Constable Deep Rose, and he looks much cuter than you would have expected.
Cute? Like attractive or like
adorable?
No, like
kind of dorky.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, all right.
Like an adorable little guy.
Oh, okay.
He's like, he looks like a guy who'd be like, yeah, I showed up and there were a bunch of kids there. I didn't know what to do. I'm also maybe from Boston or something. Mm. I don't know. My accent's all over the place. This big group of children also gathered on the third night, after which teachers were forced to step in and in schools the next day just tell their students to stop gathering because there is no vampire, and they were starting to freak everyone out.
Especially the vampires. You're making them very nervous.
Very nervous. So Constable Deep Rose gave his comments to the local paper the day after that first incident. And here's what he said. Here's a quote.
This is after he said the first night?
Yes.
Okay.
"When I appeared, I felt like the Pied Piper of Hamelin. All shapes and sizes of children went streaming after me.
Octagons! Triangles!
Talking all at once and telling me of the vampire with iron teeth. This I could handle. But when grown-ups approached me and asked earnestly, 'Is there anything in this vampire story?' it made me think."
Oh, no.
So, this is about where the story begins and ends. This is
okay.
A weird thing that happened.
Okay.
A bunch of kids spontaneously gathering in a graveyard out to hunt a vampire.
All right.
But it has still been fascinating people for decades because that doesn't happen.
So they did stop after they finally got in involved and told them to just knock it off?
Yes.
Okay.
The kids did
stop. So it was a three night in a row thing, and then the kids finally stopped?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I almost choked to death.
Uh-huh.
Natural selection. It's coming for me. Darwin was right. So this left people with a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Who was the vampire with the iron teeth?
Yeah. How did so many kids know and buy this enough to that they all organize?
Why was it all on the same night? with the same idea.
And all the kids, like, of all different ages, like...
Yeah, like, people have wondered, was this a case of mass hysteria, or...
Did they say what kids died?
We are gonna get into that.
Oh, sweet. Sweet, yeah. Sweet. So, all right, rad.
Did these kids know something that the adults didn't? Probably. Was there a vampire stalking around? Today, we are going to take a look at some of the circumstances surrounding this weird event, and I think this will explain a lot of what happened that night in Gorbals.
Cool!
So...
Neat! I'm excited. I'm enthused. I'm hyped. Right.
Here we go! In the late 50s, which is when this took place.
I thought you said it was 54.
In the early 50s!
Yes.
The Gorbals district was in pretty bad shape. Originally, it was designed to be kind of a nice, trendy area, but it quickly filled with a very large population of immigrants who had been displaced and had no money.
Okay.
Which, and at the same time, there was a rapidly growing number of industrial factories, which mm-hmm. meant more and more workers mm-hmm. coming into the area, and they needed somewhere to live. And so in response to that, these big, dense housing blocks and tenements were yeah. constructed pretty quickly and cheaply
okay.
to meet the demand, which, as we all know, leads to crowded
happiness and sunshine
shitty living conditions.
Right.
Basically, there's such a dense population of people that everything gets worn down really fast mm-hmm. and broken really fast, and
nobody has
no one
money
to fix it.
It yeah,
so stuff gets bad pretty fast.
Okay.
It was hard for me to figure out exactly how big and dense this area was.
Mm-hmm.
Because the area of Gorbals, like the actual square kilometers, has changed over the years, so I don't know for sure.
Okay.
But one source claimed that at its height, Gorbals was housing 40,000 people per square kilometer.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Diggity. Dang.
Another source said that back in the 30s, the district of Gorbals had a population of about 90,000 people.
Wow.
It's not a big district.
Wow. So it's not a town. This is just a district.
It's just a piece of a town.
Wow.
I tried to look up the population of White Center,
mm-hmm.
just to give you a frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was sort of like if you took 3 times the population of White Center and stuffed it into something a third of the size of White Center.
Oh my god!
You'd have Gorbals.
Ooh. Oof. Okay.
Shout out White Center!
Shout out to White Center!
World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Fun for everyone.
Yep.
Pretty much put a halt to the housing construction. And when the war ended, there was a big baby boom.
Yeah, I was
so...
gonna say put a stop to the housing construction, but did not put a halt to the people making.
Add more people.
Make more people.
The district was basically constantly struggling to contain this massive population of people.
Okay.
Most residents of Gorbals at the time that this whole vampire thing happened, they were living like at least 4 people to a room.
Yikes.
If not 6, 8, or 10 people.
Ugh.
It was 30 people to a toilet.
Exactly. That's a large number.
If your toilet breaks, you are booked.
You and 29 other people are real.
If anyone has, like, dysentery or something, you are fucked.
Okay.
Sorry.
No thanks.
Yep, 40 people to a water tap, so if your water is busted, that sucks.
Ugh,
for everyone.
Alright.
Sewage and water were just kind of a constant
problem. They were best
problem.
Friends. Oh, okay.
They were best friends in the street, where they made everything smell terrible. No gardens in this area. No lawns.
Oh,
There's no room for that shit. You don't, when you're in low-income housing.
There's barely room for shit.
You don't get lawns. You don't get grass. You don't get a nice strip out in front of your house.
Where you can grow your own food.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Uh-huh.
It's street for cars to serve industry for the factories down the street.
Right.
That made the people that are sitting in these houses right. that need the cars to go to their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
This district was often referred to as one of the most dangerous places in the UK.
Jeez.
Because the area was chock full of crime,
mm-hmm.
particularly gang violence.
Okay.
Which is great for everyone.
Right.
On top of that, it was also extremely polluted because of the nearby factories that I told you about.
Right. A lot of factories and people and no trees. So...
the factory chimneys just poured soot on everything
mm-hmm.
all the time. The whole place was just dingy and dark, and the sky...
In that sort of environment, you could live to the ripe old age of 20-something.
28, really getting up in years.
Yeah.
Any day now. The sky was said to be this dark red, blood red at sunset because of the thick smog that was just constantly hanging over the district.
Cool.
Which is a great setting for a vampire mystery.
Yeah, I was gonna say, no wonder they're seeing vampires.
So in spite of all of this, these not great living conditions, or maybe because of these not great living conditions, the people of Gorbals were generally known for having a really strong sense of community and, like, togetherness.
Well, that's cool.
As a people. Maybe is sort of a, you know, no one else is looking out for us, so we gotta keep ourselves taken care of.
Nobody else knows what it's like to live in this shithole.
And or, I live in a shithole right next to, like, 18 other people, so we better be friends.
Yeah.
So they were kind of people that might rally together if they heard, say, for example, some punk had murdered a couple of kids, for example.
Yeah, okay.
It would be easy to imagine them getting together and beating up some guy.
Yeah.
So, now let's get into the cemetery itself.
Mm-hmm.
The graveyard is an interesting part of the setting. Because, for one, it's named the Southern Necropolis.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious. There's also a northern necropolis.
Dude!
Yeah.
Remember the other day when you were talking about the names of cemeteries and how they should all have peaceful names and you don't find any cemeteries that are like, Demon's Roost?
I specifically did not mention the southern necropolis because I knew I'd tell you about it.
Dude! I take back whatever I said during that conversation.
About how cemeteries should all have nice names and no one would ever want to bury someone in something called, like, Southern Necropolis.
Yeah.
City of the Dead.
Yeah.
But that's literally what it means, is City of the Dead.
Yeah.
Dead City.
Oh, God, that's so
dead
cool.
Dead City, bitch. Dead City. Wow, that's an old... I'm sorry I said that.
Whatever it was, I missed the reference, so... You're good with me.
This graveyard was made a while ago when this story starts. But it was basically made because the other graveyards in the area were overcrowded,
mm-hmm.
which, y'all, let me stop for a second and give you a pro tip. If you live in a flat area and your local cemetery is on a hill, it may be because they put a new layer of dirt down on top of all of the dead people so that they could start burying more dead people on top of them.
Yeah.
That is a real thing.
Was that a European thing, or is that also an American thing?
It was big in Europe because they ran out of room for
bodies. They ran out of land, yeah.
Really fast. And there's was also the huge, I believe, Catholic population,
mm-hmm.
where you had to be buried in a cemetery or your death meant nothing. So a lot of people wanted to be buried in cemeteries, especially nice ones, but those ran out of room, so yeah, they filled up real fast.
Oh man.
And there are cemeteries will literally change elevation over time because of this. You can look this up. This is totally real. And there are also plenty of stories of overcrowded cemeteries, like, getting rained on really hard, and human bones just sort of, like, sifting up to the surface and getting washed off into nearby streets, and people don't really like when dead people start showing up. And, you know, I wouldn't, if I'd heard that, like, I don't know, maybe someone I loved was buried in a cemetery and then it rained and a bunch of bones came up, I'd be like, is that loved one, like, floating down forth right now? I'm so disturbed.
Yes.
So that's not great for cemeteries. This is why building a new one was a great idea.
Yeah.
So, the cemetery had been around for about 100 years by the time of the story, which is pretty young for a cemetery, but old enough to be pretty cool. And then the important part here is that the southern necropolis was basically the only green place in all of Gorables.
Oh, okay.
Which means for all of the kids who lived in Gorables, it was the closest thing that they had to a park.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I saw a set of black and white pictures. I'm going to try to link these in the Facebook group soon. So you guys can see them too, because they were really awesome. But someone went through around this time and took photographs of the district of Gorables just to, like, document what life was like then. And there are pictures where kids are literally playing leapfrog over tombstones in the cemetery.
Oh my gosh!
Like, they're just fucking having a good time.
Oh wow!
Playing around in the grass. And, you know, if you live your whole life in a soot-covered, dense, dirty city, and there's this nice green area, you'd want to go play in it.
Mm-hmm.
They have trees in the cemetery. And you can see in the pictures, like, it looks like kids, like, walk around in there a lot. Like, it's kind of muddy, and the grass is kind of thin.
Okay.
I mean, it was
either their place.
Yeah, it was either there or playing with, like, rubble and back alleys.
Right.
Which I saw pictures of them, like, throwing ceiling tiles at walls and watching them break apart. Like, you know, kids.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you run around the busy streets with the cars,
right.
Which is very safe. So these kids were definitely hanging out in this graveyard on the regular.
Okay.
It was the hangout spot, and they called it the Gravy.
The Gravy?
Gotta go hop down to the Gravy.
Oh my god.
Because it's graveyards. The Gravy.
Alright, okay.
That's 100% true, I'm not making that up.
Oh, you Europeans. Cute names for things.
Going down to the Gravy.
Your cute names for things. Oh,
gotta go hop around on some dead people.
Oh my god.
I'm 7. So, now that we have the stage set, let's get into the rumor of the vampire and how this came about. So, as far as anyone can tell, no children had actually gone missing in the area around this time.
Huh.
In fact, like, no one had been kidnapped or found murdered, like, at any time in the Gorbals area around this incident.
Huh.
Furthermore, no one had actually seen a 7-foot vampire skulking around, or even, like, suspicious graveyard cultists, which is another story I'll have to tell you guys sometime.
Oh, okay.
Weird things happen in graveyards.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people think that this whole thing was just a scary story that's kind of spiraled out of control. One boy, like, maybe started telling another boy of this scary thing that he's heard of, and then another kid believes him, and then spreads the story to his friends, and the next thing you know, some kids are talking about maybe going to the graveyard to beat up this monster that's been messing with their neighborhoods, and then suddenly everyone wants to know, like, what's going on in the graveyard? What are we all doing? What's happening?
It's happening in the Gravy!
And then, you know, it's a
weapons grade game of telephone.
Like, yeah, you said there's a vampire. What's going on? And because this is Gorbals, they're like, yeah, Let's go fuck them up. Yeah, let's go get this vampire.
They're sure. not gonna fuck with us.
Yeah. I'm 8. Get out. It's my home turf.
This vampire, he's not even from Gorbals.
So here's the good thing. The good news is that this happened in the 50s, which means that some of the children who were there that night are still alive.
Oh, shit.
I watched a YouTube video of these old guys who were there that night.
Oh, my gosh.
And they got to share what they remember that way back in their brains.
Oh, man, I didn't even think of that.
The vampire hunt night. Absolutely.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that. It did not even dawn on me that...
Isn't that just delightful?
That we could, like, ask somebody.
Yes, we have asked some people. And most of them, their memories are a little foggy because it was a long time ago. But, for example, here we have Kenny Hughes.
Okay.
Who said, quote, "In those days, well, we had no television, and so the jungle drums went from street to street."
Oh my gosh.
Someone on the street would say, "Do you know what's going on tonight?" And the kids would think, "We're into that, sounds good," and we'd all head off to the gravy. Oh, if you were out playing, you went there. A guy named Bob Hamilton recalls that he and his friends all used to tell ghost stories and scary stories to each other, you know, for fun.
Uh-huh.
So the rumor could have very well started as a scary story that someone was telling that someone else, maybe a younger kid, mistook as being real. Or maybe a more gullible kid.
Uh-huh.
And then one of the guys, whose name I did not get, but I think he's in the YouTube video that I found.
Okay.
He talked about how a ton of these kids didn't actually really know what was going on. And some of them didn't even know what a vampire was. Like, they'd say, "Yeah, there's a vampire." And they'd be like, "Oh, okay. What is that?" And they just thought it was like a guy or something. Uh-huh. And they didn't know what it looked like. And they didn't know what they were going to do when they got it.
Uh-huh.
And he also mentioned talking with his friends, like, who died? Like, which kids?
Uh-huh.
Who? And they decided it must have been, like, some other kids in some other neighborhood because they didn't know of anyone going missing.
Oh, my God.
So, there was also another guy who explained that it was just kind of chaotic at the graveyard that night.
Uh-huh.
Because some kids were, like, climbing up into trees to try and, like, look around and maybe spot the vampire.
Uh-huh.
And they'd see, like a tree or something moving in the distance, and they'd point and be like, "Oh, that must be him!" And then they'd all run off and go, to get him. But then there'd be nothing there, and they wouldn't find anything, and then they'd, like, go... look somewhere else, and they just sort of run around. And
oh my god.
So, when they were asked if they had, like, a plan or everything, everyone explained that they didn't actually know what they were gonna do with the vampire, even if they found it. They were probably just gonna, like, beat it up or something.
Uh-huh.
But they were just kind of winging it, because that's what everyone else was doing.
Oh my god. There was no leader.
There was no leader. It was just...
hundreds of kids.
All talking to each other, all friends with each other.
A thing going on, a thing, there's a thing.
A thing, there's a thing. Did you hear that? What thing? I want to see. What's going on?
I want to be part of the thing.
Oh, we're all making sharp sticks. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to fight.
We're going to fight. We're going to beat up this...
We're going to find a thing.
What's a vampire?
We're going to beat it up.
Wait, what? Who?
The vampire. We're going to get the vampire.
Okay. That's like a kind of fish, right?
I really hope, somewhere in my heart... that this started as a dare. You know, some older boys daring some young kid who wants to be friends with them, you know, somebody's little brother, you know, daring him that, you know, there's a vampire in the...
ooh.
You know, there's a vampire in the graveyard and telling him the whole scary story, because they know the kids that died, the older boys. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, no, you know, yeah. Jimmy, yeah, no, his cousin.
Yeah.
And, you know, daring this kid to go and do this, or saying, like, yeah, you could be friends with us if you can... find this vampire or kill this vampire or something. And then that kid telling his friends and being like, "Hey,
there's a vampire.
You want to come with me? We're going to, you know what? Yeah, let's do it." And
yeah,
then
we're gonna,
like,
go kill this vampire.
Yeah, and then, like, this gullible kid rallying his young gullible friends.
And then it somehow like circles back around through all their friends.
Yeah.
And next thing you know.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the guy who dared him is like, whoa, there's really a vampire?
Yeah. Wow. Jeez, I thought I was kidding.
That's more serious than I thought.
I want to go fight the vampire.
Wow. Are we talking about the same guy? Is there more than one? So it seems very likely that this was just a hilarious snowball of children's imaginations running wild and everyone wanting to go see what was up at the graveyard, whatever they were doing.
Did anything like that happen? Like, did you have... I know you kind of moved around a little bit when you were younger, but was there ever a point in time where you had, like, friends that lived nearby, or, like, at least kids that lived nearby, that this kind of thing would happen where, oh, there's a thing going on outside and you gotta, like, go outside and get involved?
I wish I could say yes, but I don't think I ever had enough friends or, like, talked to neighbors enough for that sort of thing. I never really lived in an area where we had, like, a bunch of kids nearby that we could, like, go do that with. Maybe some stuff at school, but I was also kind of a weird, like, loner at school, yeah, so I didn't really do that.
I was gonna say, because most kids, you know, they get, like, the school experience, and that's most of their...
I do remember kids, like, flocking around whenever there was a fight or something, so...
Because I lived in a trailer park. I lived in a trailer park for a good couple years, and the trailer park atmosphere, like, especially as far as the kids go, sound a lot like this. There's a bunch of kids in a very small space, because we're all packed together, because we're in little, you know, we don't even have yard, or, you know, yard-sized yards. We have little mini yards with our mini trailers. Sorry. Mobile homes. And there was always, like, you know, this gang of kids versus this gang of kids, and gang being, like, three.
A gaggle.
Yeah, like, you know, stupid Kyle and his two grubby friends, and sometimes they would, you know, recruit underlings, and, you know, we had the good guys over on our side, and we had Casey, who was kind of the wild card and was always grounded, but you wanted him, you know, on your side if there was a fight. And I remember... a war broke out in our trailer park once.
Ooh.
And I
think... Did that one have snapping and jackets?
Or? Almost.
Oh.
Like, I think it was because somebody stole somebody's bike.
That's a serious offense.
Yeah. And so...
Even in my neighborhood, you don't steal no one's bike.
Yeah, like somebody...
I mean, you get your bike stolen, but...
Right. There's a difference between, like, getting your bike stolen, oh no, somebody stole my bike, to, like, hey... Mikey stole my bike.
Yeah.
It's parked over at Mikey's yard.
You don't fuck with that shit.
Yeah. And so, like, there was a trailer park-wide war that broke out with us, like packed. There was packs of kids running around, like, knocking on each other's windows and, like, what's going on? Oh, I don't know. There's a fight. Oh, somebody's bike stolen? Oh, okay. Oh, no, they just left it over there. No, it's bike. Okay. Oh, we're gonna get the bike! And then something else would happen. Be like, oh, man. I think this kid bit up this other kid. We gotta go. And it was like this. We had like sticks. Casey, we broke Casey out of being grounded.
Oh my god!
Like Casey's grounded, but we need him outside. And so we managed to convince his mom to let him come outside and play just for a little bit. So he came whirling out of his house like a fucking Tasmanian devil, and he had a stick with nails in it.
Oh.
We're like, yeah, we got Casey on our side. We went out with shit's really gonna go down. Yeah.
Oh, trailer park kids, calm the fuck down.
And we were all like 12 and under.
Yeah.
Like between 5 and 12.
So with that in mind, this seems like a very likely thing that could have happened.
Yeah, and it just like how you view the world when you're a tiny pack of kids. I mean, even, and like, oh, I don't have that many friends. I was friends with none of these kids.
You still got invited to the zeitgeist, if you will.
I still got swept up. Yeah, it was like, it's like, what do they say, the war drums, like, going up and down the
jungle drums. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's what it was like, running house to house, and you just hear things going on outside, and you'd peek your head, oh, what's going on? Oh! You know, oh, I know Gabby. Let's follow Gabby, yeah. You know, and...
Gosh.
Yeah, and so that's what this reminds me of a lot. And if there had been a vampire, like, hell yeah, we'd all go run, because there was a swamp nearby, creepy things happened swamp in that monster. Swamp. Yeah, I could very easily see our trailer park of kids, like, swarming out to go take down some monster. Easily.
So now that we have a good idea of how this happened,
or at least a real clear possible illustration of it happening.
Yes. The other big question that is unanswered is, why a vampire? Of all the things to be even, like, rumored to be in this cemetery.
Especially if some of the kids didn't even know what a vampire was. So yeah. It wasn't, like, or the big popular monster that they were all already talking about.
Yes. Like, why wasn't it, like, serial killer?
Ah, yeah. Or, oh, yeah, because they're...
Why wasn't it, like, a gang member?
Yeah.
Why wasn't it... Or
Satan.
Satan. Yeah, why wasn't it a demon or, like, some scary guy? Like, why was it specifically a vampire with iron teeth?
Yeah.
Where does the iron teeth detail come in?
Mm-hmm.
Why is there a child screaming outside of our door? All these questions and more.
Welcome to the Morbid Moment. We ask the big questions.
So, yeah, like, even if this was a made-up story by a bunch of schoolboys meeting up at the local hangout spot because they were bored, or a rumor had spun wildly out of control, why the vampire?
Now, why this vampire?
Well, there are a few very likely culprits. Okay. And I don't know which one I believe the most, because all of them are pretty believable.
Okay.
Maybe it's a combination of all of them. All
right.
Some historians point to a poem called Jenny with the Iron Teeth.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that with is only W-I apostrophe.
Okay.
Because it's...
So it's Jenny Scottish. Jenny Wisconsin.
Yeah. Jenny Wisconsin. Jenny Witt, the Iron Teeth.
Oh, okay. Jenny Witt.
Yeah.
Witt.
Jenny Witt. It was basically, to sum up, a story of a murderous ghost who was said to haunt an area of Glasgow. But parents would tell this story to their children to say, you know, you better be good and get to bed like a good kid, because otherwise Jenny with Iron Teeth is going to come and eat you.
Yeah, that does sound familiar in my various ghost and fairy books of yore.
So it does seem pretty likely that maybe a couple of kids would spin this into a weird vampire story, or it could at least explain where the iron teeth detail came from.
Yeah, because that is a very specific and weird thing to just kind of think up.
And
then for a bunch of kids to go, oh yes, this makes perfect sense.
Oh yes, obviously. Alternatively, some people also point to the description of a monster in the Bible, in Daniel 7:7.
Oh?
Daniel has a dream of four beasts, the fourth one described as dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I remember that?
I don't know. Maybe you don't have a good enough Scottish Bible.
Man, I better get the update.
And, you know, this does sound like a community where maybe reading the Bible to your kids was pretty much, like, as much a pastime as it is a religious practice. Especially if you don't have much TV or other entertainment.
I wonder if maybe that's even where Jenny with the Iron Teeth came from.
Oh, it could be.
Maybe it's a whole Iron Teeth chain.
So
unraveling the Iron Teeth conspiracy.
Whoa. Goes deeper than we thought. But then there's the third option, which I find very interesting.
Yes, yes.
Yes. So, in 1953, 1 year before the Gorbals vampire incident, an American comic book series called Dark Mysteries released issue number 15.
Oh boy.
Which included a story called, wait for it, The Vampire with the Iron Teeth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
To sum up the plot of the story because I read it, and I will link to the comic.
Yay!
So that you can read it.
Yay!
You're really going to love this Facebook page. It's really going to work out.
I'm excited about this Facebook post.
To sum up the plot of the story, there's this vampire running loose and murdering people, and this, I think, European duke is trying to find and kill it. But then meanwhile, the duke's wife is complaining of terrible toothaches, so the local magician makes her a set of iron teeth to replace her old ones.
Okay.
And her iron teeth are the toast of the town until they visit an American duke, and his wife has a brand new set of beautiful ivory teeth. And the original wife with the iron teeth is now shamed because
what?
Ivory is super stylish and make her weird metal teeth look hideous. So
this is getting fucking weird.
This is why I don't read comic books, you guys. They're just bizarre.
This
kind of weird shit. Have you ever read American comic books?
I guess not, because
they're weird. They're okay, like, one issue at a time, but if you try to read them back to back, they are just nonsense.
Okay. Jeez.
The magician is pressed to make the duke's wife a set of ivory teeth so that she can be beautiful again.
Uh-huh.
But this guy's never, like, heard of ivory teeth, because that's a weird American thing.
Okay.
He doesn't know where to get ivory, so...
All right.
He and his wife decide to dig up a dead woman and steal her teeth to make a set of teeth for the duke's wife.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the duke kills... Okay.
This is wackier than the original story.
This was the real horror
along. Oh my god, okay.
So, meanwhile, the duke killed everyone in this town because he's 100% sure that the vampire is one of the people in this town. So if he just, like, throws everyone to a bonfire... It'll be cool. He'll get the vampire.
Okay. I already forgot that there was a vampire.
Yes, that happened way back at the beginning.
So there's a vampire.
There's a vampire in the beginning.
And then teeth
mostly
drama.
Mostly teeth.
And then the...
Circle back to the vampire.
Town gets wiped out. He wipes out the whole town?
It's like a village, yeah.
Okay. Is he Duke of more than just this village? Or did he just kill, like, everybody that he's...
There was, like, two or three panels given to explain this entire thing. This is not detailed.
So I shouldn't be asking you the hard questions.
In fact, I may be giving you more detail than the comic actually gives.
Okay.
This is an old comic.
All right. Man, so, people are like, oh, man, the good old days of comics. Are you serious?
For real, bro. The 50s.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile.
The good old days.
Meanwhile, the wife gets her new teeth.
Okay, new dead woman teeth.
But she doesn't know that they belong to a dead woman.
Oh, Okay, the magician dug somebody up.
Yes, the magician and his wife.
Oh, okay.
Dug someone up.
Oh, okay.
Stole her teeth.
Okay.
Put them into a
and
set of dentures.
And this isn't the wife that has the ivory teeth.
No, that's the American
Duke's
wife.
So this is a new wife.
This is the original wife.
No, the original wife has iron teeth.
Yes. Oh, you're talking about the magician's wife.
Yes.
Okay. The duke has a wife with iron teeth.
Yes.
Somewhere in America, there's another duke with a wife with beautiful ivory teeth.
Yes.
Back with the first duke, there's a magician, and he is married to a wife who is okay with digging up people.
Okay, got it. Got my wife straight.
So, the first duke's wife gets her new teeth.
Yes.
That she doesn't know belong to a dead lady.
Okay.
And they're beautiful.
Beautiful.
And everyone loves them.
Right.
But then that night, the wife turns into a vampire and kills the duke. And the magician realizes that he'd accidentally stolen the teeth from the vampire that they killed in the town. And now there's a new vampire running around. And he's like, does that mean that I'll be the next victim? And that's how the comic ends.
All right. So I hate to be the one to, like... to be that guy that, like, points out things in comics and...
It's not worth it. But go ahead.
That vampire doesn't have iron teeth.
Yeah. Well, no, because they took the iron teeth
out.
Yeah.
So it's not the vampire.
No, it's
not. No, it's the lady with vampire teeth.
Yeah.
With zombie vamp... There's no... So there... Okay. Do you see my point, though?
But do you remember when you were a kid... and you watched movies and you remember the first 5 minutes of the movie so clearly, but the last like 50 you're like, they go to other places? Yes. There are other characters? You're like, no, the fucking secret of Nim is nothing but that goddamn lab scene for like yes! 4 hours.
Right, that's what that movie's about.
No, there's so much more to the plot of that movie.
No, it's just the lab like and a the giant hot rat.
Owl guy. Oh, well, there's that.
Everybody loved Justin.
Oh. Wait, hang on, where are we?
I don't know.
Okay, Secret of Nim, great movie.
Weird
watch
for
it.
For a second, all right.
So, we have a children's rhyme.
Whatever, you know what? A lot of guys had their sexual awakening because what? Of what's her, Lila, what, Lily, Lola, Bunny from Space Jam.
What?
Let us have Justin the Rat,
what
okay?
What are you talking about right now?
You haven't heard your guy friends talk about Lola Bunny?
No, because she's a fucking rabbit!
That's the point! And you're like, oh my god, you guys! They're like, whatever, she was a hot bunny! And then I realized that
no,
I was a
I
12-year-old
have,
boy.
I didn't have friends.
Alright, we've all learned some things about ourselves and each other.
Although I have heard a lot of people say that they thought Simba was hot, and I'm like,
Simba?
Yeah.
Well, that's just because he was voiced by the hottest kid at the time. I mean, who wasn't in the JTT?
Were we talking about something?
Something about vampires.
Okay. Well. Okay, so I'm bringing us back.
This is definitely the episode where, like, 5% of listeners are going to be like, yeah, to every stupid, awful 90s reference we've given, and we've alienated the other 95%.
I feel like we're getting dangerously close to Justin's bean thing. We're gonna just be known for this one thing and no one else will ever.
Well, especially now that you've again made another reference that only a slim amount of people are gonna get.
Ugh. Toki, cut all this out later.
We can count on him. He will absolutely cut all of this out later.
So, we have a children's rhyme. We've got a Bible verse, and we have an American comic book about playing a game of musical chairs with vampire teeth.
And they all could still questionably be linked together.
Yes.
Bible verse.
Yep.
Causes Jenny and the Iron Teeth.
Yep.
Which causes this weird-ass comic, which causes dozens of kids in Scotland to flood a graveyard looking for a vampire.
However, I do want to point out that it's a little weird that's an American comic book and they were in Scotland.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, some kid gets a hold of somebody's
imported American comic book.
Yeah, bought it at the store or, you know, traveling happens and that's their cool thing.
Traveling
and they're like,
happens?
And they're like, oh, man, I got this cool idea because of this comic book and I'm going to scare my little brother with the story. And then soon there's like several dozen kids allying against the dude with the teeth.
So, Red, pop quiz.
Okay.
You are a bunch of human adults.
Okay.
We're gonna do some role-playing here.
It's not what a pop quiz is.
Pop quiz. Pretend that you are a group of concerned adults
sure.
in the 50s.
Sure.
And everyone...
The answer to this already is that I'm going to blame it on some marginalized identity. Ooh. Marginalized group of people, so.
No. Well, almost. So, you're... Okay. Okay.
It's those goddamn vampires!
So you're...
Moving into the city! With their weird faces and their teeth!
Taking all the jobs! The vampire jobs! Who's gonna work night shifts? Yeah.
Okay, what?
You're an adult. Out of these three choices, which do you think they blamed for their kids all thinking that vampires were running loose in the graveyard?
Video games.
It was video games. It was video games.
That's why there were no video games in the 50s.
Because they were already...
They were outlawed.
Video games were maybe like a thought in someone's brain, and then they saw this, and they were like, uh-oh. Hang on, gotta wait.
Let's delay it. We're not ready.
So in an unlikely alliance, Christians, communists, and the National Union of Teachers...
Wait, I almost know the punchline to this joke.
walked into a bar. Those three groups all blamed imported American comic books for this mass hysteria.
Yeah.
And it was all over the newspapers, like, comic books introducing your children to Satan. Comic books poisoning the youth.
Oh, boy.
Are your kids reading comic books?
Are your children reading fiction? Turning with the pictures?
Horror comics poisoning minds of youth.
Oh, man.
The violence and horror of American comic books were destroying the youth. And the issue caught on and caused such a mass panic that the campaign eventually reached Parliament.
Oh, that shit's crazy.
And they ended up passing the 1955 Children and Young Persons Harmful Publications Act.
I was about to make a joke about this, but it happened?
It is an act that still stands today. This is a real thing that was passed.
Oh my god.
Because of the American comic book scare in Scotland. Because these kids got together in a graveyard and thought there was a vampire to kill.
Oh my god! That's amazing! People are amazing!
This act basically makes it so that comic books containing violent, lawless, or otherwise indecent content for anyone under the age of 18 can be officially prohibited.
Wow.
For the record, only two comics have ever actually been prosecuted under this act.
Was one Jenny with the Iron Teeth over there?
I don't know. Well, I think both of them were in the 70s, so who knows what was happening then.
Oh, geez.
Good 20 years later.
Okay.
46...
They're like, finally, something to use this law we passed.
We thought this would come in handy a lot more. It's surprisingly...
A lot less vampires than we thought.
46 more comics have been tried over the years, but ultimately none of those have been prosecuted.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, it's not like they haven't tried.
Okay, all right.
It's not like the band...
But this one's got boobs!
It's not like the banned books thing.
Okay.
Where books get banned for really dumb shit reasons.
Gotcha. They just tried for really dumb shit reasons.
Yes. So...
It's gonna make our kids believe in vampires!
Yeah, in hearing these men, these guys who are still alive that remember the incident talk about it, it sounds like comic books were not common.
Uh-huh.
It's not like they all read this story or something like that. Especially not, they didn't really have comic books that were imported from America. But who knows, like you were saying, maybe one kid in town got a hold of it and read it and then, like, spun the yarn.
Bloomed, yeah, okay.
Told all his friends about it. So, in conclusion, I think the real lesson that we have to learn here is that there is nothing scarier than a child's imagination.
Yeah, what's kind of funny is I was looking forward to whatever our next episode was going to be. Because, you know, we recently have been writing and talking more about how people process fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of being, like, the whole reason that we started the podcast. Or I should say that you started the podcast and then got me hooked onto it. But, yeah, and so this is, like, the perfect story for that. Because look at this shit.
This is very strange.
And not only, like, what the kids did because of their reaction to fear and imagination, but then what the adults did.
They passed a fucking law.
It's the same thing. It's like the kids are like, oh, the metal-teethed vampire, oh my god! And then the adults are like, oh my god,
metal-teethed comics!
Yeah.
Destroying the youth!
Oh my god, get your sticks, I'll meet you at the graveyard. I mean Parliament.
Let's get this shit banned!
Wow.
So, it is a delightful little horror story, this night in the graveyard, to tell. As these spooky kids somehow, like, gathering together to hunt this vampire.
Right.
And the adults didn't know anything about it, and it's spooky and mysterious and weird.
And some of the adults even being like, shit, is there
a vampire?
What happened? But somebody go murdered?
Yeah, I think it is just as fascinating to look at why it happened and
then the crazy results that are still around. That's just, that's amazing.
So, Iron Tooth Vampire, if you're out there and real, laughing behind your
little
tombstone.
Little chattery teeth.
Oh.
That's my Foley work. That's okay. It's my metal teeth.
Good God, it's hideous! Wow. Where'd you get those horrible iron teeth?
A comb and a palette knife, actually.
Okay.
I mean, I know it's obvious that that's what those sounds are, but... And then me making a face.
The face is really making it all come together. Just imagine this fucking vampire, like this Nosferatu motherfucker behind a tombstone, like, that never expected.
Shit, I bought it!
Shit, I can't believe all those kids saw me. Shit.
So, that's, I'm glad I could share this
with
you.
What a neat little story.
It's a fantastic little chapter of vampire history.
Oh man, I like it. I dig it.
Monsters are scary, but humans...
humans
are hilarious.
Are worse.
So, if you liked this episode, if you liked learning about the Iron Tooth Vampire, why don't you do us a solid? Go to iTunes, rate us, leave us a little review, and, that's it, actually. You could stop there. It's a 1-2 process. It's really simple.
No, get over to Facebook. It's 1-2-3.
Oh, 1-2-3. Also, check us out on Facebook at Morbid Moment Podcast on Facebook. I think that's how you do it. You, like, search at and then type Morbid Moment Facebook and Morbid Moment Podcast.
Morbid Moment Podcast.
And it should pop right up. You can also email us.
Yeah.
That's still a thing.
That will always be a thing.
Here it is. Here's the address. MorbidMomentPodcast@gmail.com. Go ahead and email us any suggestions you have, topics you want to hear us talk about. You can let us know if you like the episode.
Oh, I was also thinking, if there are any get-to-know-you questions that you would like to hear us get to know each other about, I would love suggestions.
That would be pretty great.
Because we're running out.
I thought that we could just talk about our own personal spooky stuff for, like, forever, but it turns out there's only so many spooky get-to-know-you topics.
Yeah, I've got a lot of, like, embarrassing stories, but they're not exactly spooky. They're mostly just, like, really dumb.
I can list, like, scary dreams I've had for, like, 4 hours, but you can't really, that turns into a whole other podcast.
Right.
And then for the end of our episode here, I'm going to hand you off to Red for a super cool little moment.
Okay, here's the thing.
Yes.
So our feel good segment, even though I'm already feeling pretty good. I did a dumb thing.
Okay.
I did a dumb thing. I was bored and I like tea, drinking tea, different
Delicious.
Blends of tea. And I was dinking around on Adagio tea, which is one of my favorite places to get tea, because you can, like, make your own little blends on there and do things with it, and they have, like...
Tea nerd!
I'm kind of a tea nerd ever since I had to quit drinking coffee, so...
Oh, it's a rough life.
Yeah. The cool thing about Adagio is they have fandom-based tea blends.
Go on!
So, if you are on there...
Yes!
Go to Fandom Blends.
Yes!
And if you have to put it in the fandom field, like if you just look for name, nothing comes up, but if you click, there's like name, tags, creator, or whatever, but if you click fandom, and you look for Morbid Moment, there might just be 2 teas in the Morbid Moment Fandom Tea Blend Collection.
Oh my god. We now have Morbid Moment brand tea.
There's one for vampires and one for Mothman.
I was kind of hoping we would get t-shirts before we got tea, but I will accept it.
And there will be more. Theme blends. I'm thinking of doing a haunted doll one next.
Ooh.
I was gonna do a Robert the Doll one, but I realized I can't exactly ask his permission first. Then we know what happens if you don't ask Robert permission first.
Besides, it would probably just be filled with, like, hay or something. Yeah.
Well, spoilers.
Uh-oh.
That's the flavor I'm going to go for.
Oh, no. Enjoy.
Get some good hojicha in there.
A nice, delicious taste of old doll.
Yeah.
I'm not really selling
but
it.
But wait. It gets better.
What?
It gets better.
Wait, hang on. You're telling me that there's more?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
It's the really dumb part.
Okay.
If you search for the fandom and you find the fandom, there's a little button that's really easy to miss. And if you, like, go to the T, you can't really find it. You gotta, like, go through the search engine and look at, find the fandom. But there's a button that says join the fandom. And you can join the fandom by answering a super secret quiz. And it gives you a little Morbid Moment badge on your profile. It's so dumb.
It's really cute, though.
It's really cute. So if there's a... here's why it's a feel-good moment, though.
Okay.
Whether you get Morbid Moment tea or not, if you guys want a $5 discount coupon gift card thing for Adagio teas,
if you like teas,
it's really cool because it's not a like buy $15 get five off, like it's just a straight up $5 coupon,
$5 of free tea.
Yeah, email me or email us
morbidmomentpodcast@gmail.com
and ask for that tea code and I will give you my little tea code. We both get points from it. You get a coupon, I get some points. It's pretty great. I will shoot the email back to you, and you can go have fun.
On that note, Adagio, if you want to hurry up and sponsor us for this free advertisement, that would be great.
So, yeah, that's my thing. That's dumb, fun thing.
I deeply appreciate you putting time and nerdy love into something for this show. That tickles me.
I was stuck on the couch sick. And was looking around at my tea because I needed tea to feel better.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh my god, I got an idea. And then it happened and I don't even know.
All right. Well, before we make any more rash decisions, let's end the episode.
Toki! I'm going to make a Toki tea.
A Toki tea?
I'm going to make a mystery Toki tea.
Ooh.
Toki the sound tea. Sound Toki tea.
Good night, everybody!
Bye, everybody. See you next time. Stay morbid.
I think we nailed it.